The church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
What we have in the Donald Trump phenomenon, as well as in the Hillary Clinton phenomenon, is an embrace of the very kind of moral and cultural decadence that conservatives have been saying for a long time is the problem.
People are busy, 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 but they've still got time to sit down and rewatch 666 episodes of Game of Thrones.
So we are very much an end times people, an apocalyptic people, and I think the more that we recover that, the more we'll be prepared to, with integrity, face the darkness of the present age and not lose our minds.
Confessional Lutheran Deadheads, Love, Issues, etc.
I don't very often hear my pastor preach about my dreams. I don't hear him preach about his dreams. He might mention a dream or two if it's part of the biblical text, say Joseph is visited by an angel in a dream, both the Old and the New Testament, Joseph, by the way. So there's a place for it, but I think sometimes if you go into the average big box evangelical church and you hear the pastor talking about your dreams, I don't know that they're talking about a divine revelation from God, or maybe, in fact, they are. Either way, it's kind of troublesome if you ask me. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. In the first half hour of the program with Pastor Chris Roseboro, a little bit later, we're going to be spending some time with you, our listeners, playing our Friday game, Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll play four soundbites for you. All you got to do is listen to the four and then decide which one you think should be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Then you give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and you vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're going to talk about a sermon preached by Nicole Crank of Faith Church based in St. Louis on teaching men to give birth to their dreams. Pastor Chris Roseboro is our guest, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
First of all, she is listed, Nicole Crank, as pastor of this church or a pastor of this church. Just a curious question. Given the fact that the New Testament is pretty darn clear that women ought not to occupy the pastoral office, according to St. Paul there. He mentions about three, four times in unequivocal ways. How do these pop American evangelical congregations get around that?
There are several primary ways, but I'll just kind of give you like the most popular one. What they generally do is say, listen, you know, we know that this woman has a calling on her life. I mean, the Holy Spirit is speaking to her, and so we need to get on board with the new thing that the Spirit is doing. And so what they basically do is claim direct revelation. God is calling this woman. She feels called by the Spirit. We believe she is because look at her gifting and look at the impact that she's having. Therefore, you know, she can be pastor because God, the Holy Spirit, trumps the written word of God. That's generally how that goes down.
All right. That's not that different from how kind of mainline Protestant liberal denominations do it. They just say the Spirit's doing a new thing and move on, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then they'll claim something like from the book of Esther, you know, that God made her for such a time as this. So who are we to get in the way of God?
All right. With that said, just give us a brief introduction to Nicole Crank.
Well, Nicole Crank is the wife of David Crank, and they are the co-pastors of a multi-site mega church in the St. Louis area. I think their main campus is in Earth City, not too far from you guys. And they are quite a couple. They're kind of a growing power couple in evangelicalism, close friends with Joel Osteen. And Faith Church St. Louis brings in enough money that there are several churches around the country, including one in Minneapolis, who have been funded by monies coming from Faith Church St. Louis. So they are trying to reproduce themselves, not only as a multi-site, but also by helping to fund like-minded churches in other parts of the country. So, yeah, they are quite influential.
You and I have talked about, and I can't remember, you have a long kind of cobbled together term for a certain theology that includes kind of aspiring to your dreams or living out your dream. What is it again, Chris?
We call it the dream destiny thingy doctrine.
Okay. Explain what it is, because I have a suspicion that men giving birth to their dreams fit somewhere in there.
Right. Yeah, it's this idea that kind of like the main purpose of Christianity and of being a Christian is for you to get a direct revelation from God, whereby He is going to reveal to you the specific dream destiny for which He actually created you. You think of it as like the ultimate answer as to what is the meaning of life. Well, the answer to the question is, well, it's your dream destiny thingy. The problem is that, you know, it requires you to apparently learn how to hear the voice of God. God's broadcasting on some kind of a radio frequency, and you have to learn how to tune in. Of course, you have to make yourself worthy to be able to receive the dream destiny thingy as well. But once you receive it, then that answers the question for you, at least, what is the meaning and purpose of your life? And then you are to then, you know, basically drop everything and focus all of your efforts on achieving the destiny to which God created you.
All right, so what are we going to hear from Nicole Crank of Faith Church here in St. Louis?
All right, so we're going to be listening to her Mother's Day sermon. It's not this week, but last week. And where she's going to start off by basically explaining that for Mother's Day, it's important for men, and not just women, to believe that they are called to be mothers.
You know, the weird thing about it is I noticed that only the women stood up for Mother's Day. Isn't that so weird, right? That's so interesting, because as we get into the message, we're going to actually find out that men are called to be mothers as well. But that's in the spirit. Everybody say in the spirit. So what you might not have thought about is that ladies, young ladies, all the single ladies, gentlemen, grandparents, and that 350-pound biker with all the tats back there who's looking at me funny. Hi. Every single one of us is called to be a mother. Why do you say that? I say that because every single one of us are called to give birth. Not to natural children, but to give birth to our dreams, give birth to our destinies, to give birth to those things that God has called us to do. And I want to talk right now to the folks who especially think that they might be in a barren place in their life, maybe incapable of giving birth. Maybe, well, I'm older, my time for dreams is over. Maybe caught in a humdrum job and they don't know how to get out of it, or they've started a new business and no clients are coming. Maybe somebody who's been fighting addiction over and over again, somebody who just can't seem to find their soulmate, or somebody who's trying to conceive naturally, or somebody who's stuck in this place financially. I want to talk to each and every person who is stuck in their life in a place that may look barren, may look desolate, may look like there's no dream to be birthed here. And I want to say directly to you this morning, there is a dream and a destiny for you that God has not yet brought to pass in your life. But these steps of faith we're going to share this morning, I am positive that there's going to be a moment of conception that happens for you on this very day. You're going to leave here pregnant, and you're going to go give birth to a dream. So right now, I want you to look at your neighbor and say, I thought you had a bump.
All right. Chris, this sounds remarkably like some of the other dream destiny thingy stuff we have listened to. Do they like get together, have a meeting, and agree upon kind of a boilerplate message here? Because it sounds almost word for word stuff we've heard from other people.
Well, yeah, the idea here is that rather than getting together, what's happening is that they're reading the most popular books put out by like men like Rick Warren or T.D. Jakes or others. And if you were to walk into your local Christian bookstore, these are going to be the types of books that are going to be sitting atop the Christian bestseller list. And so that's the reason why they sound so much alike, is because this is literally the message that is selling like hotcakes, and Christian publishers wanting to make a profit have capitalized and found different authors that all pretty much teach the same thing. And that's why there seems to be such uniformity in message here.
So she is talking about giving birth to a dream and a destiny.
Yeah, and you'll notice that she's already kind of introduced a theme of barrenness here. She's allegorizing it, which is funny because in Scripture there is actually a motif of barren wombs, which and then miraculous births that take place, which are, if you pay attention to Scripture, that motif points us to the ultimate barren womb, which is the barren womb of the Virgin Mary and her miraculously giving birth to Christ as a virgin. That's kind of what that's all about. These things are kind of hidden in type and shadow, but she allegorizes barrenness to be, you're struggling with a business, you have, you feel like you're in a job that's going nowhere. These are apparently examples of barrenness in your life, proof that your dream womb is apparently not filled yet with something that you need to conceive. I mean, I got to tell you, I have yet to go to church and actually leave church being pregnant. So this whole thing is just so weird and bizarre on so many levels, it's not even funny.
It's not only the dream destiny thing, it's also Narcissus, because she skipped over everything, including Jesus, to make this passage about me.
Oh yeah, no, and in fact, we're going to look at several examples of Bible twisting in this sermon itself. In fact, this is kind of like a textbook sermon if you're looking for ways in which to twist Scripture, and narcissistic eisegesis is just one of them. In fact, in the next soundbite, we're going to actually take a look at how she's going to start to begin to handle Scripture, or I should say mishandle.
I'm going to start in Psalm 113, and in Psalm 113, verse 9, it says, "He makes the barren woman." And actually, if you read Matthew Henry's commentary, if you read some different commentaries on this, God is not speaking directly to women in this particular moment. He's actually speaking to the situation. Everybody say the situation. He makes the barren woman to be a homemaker and a joyful mother of spiritual children. Praise the Lord. Here's the stretch that I have for some of you gentlemen, grandparents, folks who think you're not in a place of birthing today. The stretch I have for you, especially guys, is when you take a step of faith, you have to step out into a place where you're not comfortable. Faith never looks comfortable. Faith never looks secure. So we're going to go ahead and just take our first step of faith this morning. And guys, we're going to borrow a line from Shania Twain. It goes like this. Man, I feel like a woman. And you're going to have your chance to say that to me when I count to three. Are you ready in the house, guys?
Yeah.
Come on, you ready to take a step of faith? It's Mother's Day. You show that woman of yours just how tough you are. You can handle this. You ain't scared of pink. It don't bite. Not you, because you're made of bulletproof metal. Are you ready? One, two, three. Man, I feel like a woman. Nice work, ladies. Give it up for your men and how brave they are. Why did you do that? Because we have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. There is nothing at all comfortable about the birthing process.
Okay, Chris. I'm not even there and I'm uncomfortable, so go ahead.
There's so much wrong with this. It's not even... I mean, I wish this was satire, but it's not. All right, we'll try to handle this straight up as far as what she did. She references Psalm 113, verse 9, which out of context says, he, that's talking about God, gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children, praise the Lord. And then she references Matthew Henry's commentary without actually reading it, and Matthew Henry actually is, in a sense, allegorizing or thinks that there's something symbolic going on with this verse. But here's what he says. He says, "Let us pray that those lands which are yet barren may speedily become fruitful and produce many converts to the faith to join in the praising the Lord." So Matthew Henry thinks that in this poetic language here, it's not referring to some dream destiny thinging, but the barren woman giving birth. He sees it as a picture of the barren lands where there are no converts to Christianity, the gospel reaching them, and then God creating children, you know, there through the preaching of the gospel. But she doesn't say that. Instead, she just quotes the verse out of context, makes reference to Matthew Henry, and then says that what this is really teaching is that we need to step out in faith, because doing so, doing that is an important, necessary thing, and it's very uncomfortable. And so we're going to step out in faith, and we're going to have all the men say, "Man, I feel like a woman." I can't even begin to imagine what that's supposed to accomplish, except for making the men there at Faith Church feel utterly humiliated. I mean, and emasculated is probably a good way to put it, too.
On this Friday, May the 20th, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're listening to a bits of a sermon preached by Nicole Crank of Faith Church based in St. Louis on teaching men to give birth to their dreams. Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith is our guest. When we come back, we'll hear more from Nicole Crank. Stay tuned.
Man, I feel like a woman.
How is confessional Lutheranism similar to and different from American evangelicalism, Roman Catholicism, and Eastern Orthodoxy? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is titled Being Lutheran. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 800-325-3040. Save $2 by ordering Being Lutheran during the month of May. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Being Lutheran.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee. And Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
If you think about it, it's almost as if it's everything about Pentecostalism, but that looks good on TV.
When somebody says, "I'm for religious freedom," and what I mean by it is merely the right to worship, you know that what you have there is an enemy of religious freedom, not a friend of religious freedom.
The problem is that the more you scream in defense of them in order to make yourself righteous, then the more you convert other people over to your cause, and then the more people convert to that, then the less righteousness you get from defending that cause, so you have to move on to something new.
And I find this immensely comforting, because the works follow them. This means that everyone in heaven will know, for example, how wonderful your grandmother is.
In about 15 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Those are just a snippet of the four soundbites we'll play for you. When you hear them in their entirety, you need to give us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC, and cast your vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package on this Friday, May the 20th. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We are listening to parts of a sermon preached by Nicole Crank. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. So what else are we going to hear from Nicole Crank on teaching? She's trying to teach men how to give birth to their dreams.
All right, so now we're going to hear a full-blown example of narcissism where she's going to totally hijack a text and allegorize it and make it about you.
You know, there were several very important barren women in the Bible who ended up giving birth to great, great people of great influence. And we're going to follow one of them today. We're going to follow Hannah. And the story is in 1 Samuel 1. And in 1 Samuel 1, it tells the story of Hannah and her husband. And they were married for what they say is probably about 10 years. Because back in the Bible times, you could be married for 10 years and not have children. But after 10 years, if you did not have children, they expected you to take a second wife so that you could pass on your inheritance and your posterity and all these great things. To me, that sounds like a sentence straight out of prison. I can't imagine everything that Pastor David has to do to take care of me by myself. If he was expected to take care of two women, and the fact that I would try and kill her when he wasn't looking. I cannot imagine the fights, the wars, the craziness that happened in these homes in Bible times. And I'm not even just making this up. If you go to 1 Samuel 1:6, it says, but her rival wife, we're talking about Hannah. So the rival wife is this woman named Peninnah. The husband marries the second wife, and she starts having children, popping out babies like everything. So Hannah's feeling like a failure, like a rejection, like she doesn't count. And the rival wife, it says, the rival wife is just, well, let's find out what she's doing. It says, but her rival wife taunted her cruelly, rubbing it in and never letting her forget that God had not given her children. This went on year after year. Every time she went to the sanctuary of God, she could expect to be taunted. Hannah was reduced to tears and had no appetite. You see, once a year they took a trip, a holy trip, and they would bring their offerings to God and get with the priest. And on this trip, oh man, then Peninnah would really rub it in her face. Do you have anybody in your life that has been rubbing it in your face that you're not yet living your dream?
That's interesting, Chris. How she's really good at that. I mean, she's going along with the narrative of the text as it reads, more or less, and then just in the last line, jumps over everything right to me. I love it. Go straight to me. It's all about me.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and that's kind of how the narcissism of our society works. And nobody challenges this. Of course the text has to be about me. It's like, duh, I'm the most important person in the universe that I know, so it has to be about me. So she just allegorizes it, the anxiety that poor Hannah had to go through, suffering at the hands of Peninnah. Well, that, you know, how about you? I mean, so how many people do you have in your life that are taunting you because your dream destiny thingy hasn't shown up yet? And, of course, I answered the questions like, I've never had anybody taunt me because my dream destiny thingy hasn't shown up. Because I don't know anyone who thinks this way. It's like, it's the weirdest, most self-absorbed way of reading scripture that I have ever run into. And I find it fascinating that people with an American public school education who should understand reading comprehension are listening to this going, oh yeah, that's what the Bible's about. I mean, if you read the context and read the passage, it's not about that at all.
Well, Chris, you have a background in business and marketing, am I right?
Oh yeah.
What it sounds like, and I don't, but what it sounds like she's doing is kind of the classic advertiser's gambit. She is telling you, she's making you think you need something that you never thought you needed before, that you never needed before or never wanted before.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's taking the message of Christianity and making it into a product. And she's selling it, and the word that would they use in the marketing is it's the with'em. It's the what's in it for me. You know, what, so Christianity is all about what's in it for you. Oh, you want to know what's in it for you in Christianity? Well, you get to have salvation in eternity with God. But not only that, I mean, if you act now, then God will throw in a dream destiny thingy at no additional cost. Well, actually, it's going to cost you 10% of the gross of your income because you need to tithe in order to show God that you have enough obedience to earn a hearing from him for the dream destiny thinking. But that's just what's to be expected. And that, you know, but don't worry, the whole dream destiny, you're going to be a person of significance and influence, and you're going to go and make a difference in the world. And that's what Christianity is all about. It's right. They've turned the message of Christianity, at least the sanctification part of it, into some kind of a product that they're selling, and this is part of the what's in it for me.
One more bite from Nicole Crank. What is it?
Okay, now this is a different type of twisting of Scripture. And again, like I said, this sermon, classic textbook twisting of Scripture. This is taking a historical narrative and then saying, okay, what is it? What is the thing that Hannah had to do in order for her to once and for all get her dream destiny thingy from God? And so we're going to look at the steps that she took in her life and believe that that's some kind of a pattern that we need to follow and then apply ourselves to our lives so that we can have our dream destiny the way she did.
So we want to see what it took for Hannah to get from there to her place of blessing. And Hannah, the first thing that she did in verse 10, Hannah's in the place of God. Peninnah's rubbing her face in it. She doesn't know how to handle it. And the first thing she did, it says in verse 10, Hannah was in distress of soul and praying to the Lord and weeping bitterly. Praying to the Lord and weeping bitterly. The first thing she did was pray. Everybody say pray. You know, the temptation in the morning is to somehow get distracted from your prayer time. How many of you intend to get up in the morning and pray? That's like your plan. You go to bed, you're like, I'm going to get up in the morning and pray. And the Catholic people, they get up in the morning, do this, kneel by their bed. So we intend to get up in the morning and pray. So we get up and we're like, Dear Father, I just want to come to you this morning just with all my praise. And I just want to say thank you for being so ding. Your phone, oh, excuse me, I got to take this. I'm looking for some information. Oh, my brother wants to come over at 6. Oh, 6 doesn't work. Come over at 6:30. Okay, sorry, God, where were we? So I just wanted to say thank you, God. I just ask you to bless my family. Ding! Oh, excuse me, 6:30 doesn't work. How about 7? Well, 7 doesn't work. We're going to eat too late. You got to be here by 6:30. So anyway, God, what I was saying is bless my family, bless my finances. Ding! Well, if I can't come over then, look, brother, if you just can't even get along with me, blah, 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 blah. You know what? I'm going to Facebook about how destroying my brother is to our family. And then you get on Facebook and you go ahead and venture stuff on Facebook and talk about how upset you are. And then while you're on Facebook, you see that somebody else that's a friend of yours said something about you and you just got to respond to that. Or I just need to encourage them. And we get all busy. And suddenly you look up at the clock, you're running late for work, and now you got to rush to take a shower. That's how it goes, isn't it? We intend, but that time is stolen. The enemy is after that time specifically for one reason, because it is the major key to going from bearing to birthing. I tell you what, if we want to get out of that barren place, we've got to defend that time like it is a fortress and know this is the most important 15 minutes, 5 minutes, 25 minutes, whatever it is for you. This is the most important time of my day.
So what's she saying there?
Well, here's how it works. So she's looked at the narrative of Hannah. So Hannah had to be obedient to something in order to receive that blessing from God, which resulted in her giving birth to Samuel. Because, you know, they confuse law and gospel. God doesn't do things by grace through faith. You have to earn it. So she's looking for the pattern. Well, okay, so what's the first thing that Hannah did? Oh, it says she prayed. But it also says she weeps. Well, weeping can't be something that will please God. So we'll put the weeping thing aside and we'll say, okay, step number one, if you want to give birth to your dream destiny, is you've got to learn how to guard your prayer time, because that makes sense. So what she's doing is she's taking historical narrative, turning it into application, and saying that these applications then are the keys and the steps that you've got to go through in order to get your dream destiny the way Hannah did. But that's not what this text is saying at all. In fact, what she's saying is absolutely absurd. These are not steps to be followed. This is a historical narrative that ultimately points us to belief and trust in God's faithfulness, not in us doing things in order to prove to God that we're worthy to receive a dream destiny thingy.
Chris, before we let you go, what kind of rum are you going to be serving tonight on Fighting for the Faith?
I need a stronger rum. what we're going to be doing on Fighting for the Faith tonight is we're going to be looking at some of the prophets who are internet prophets who are weighing in regarding the disappearance of the Egyptian flight 804, as well as trying to figure out what a missional community is.
All right, you can listen to Chris Rosebro and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. That's about a half hour from now at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Rosebro is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of an internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with you, our listeners. It's time to play Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got the four soundbites. We're ready to play them. You need to be by the phone, 1-877-623-MY-IE, or ready to email talkback at issuesetc.org or tweet at issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and vote for Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's coming up right after this.
Trinity Lutheran Church in Vilonia, Indiana, is a mighty fortress that stands as a bulwark against the attacks of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. We are located in Jackson County, about 2 miles south of historic Fort Vilonia on State Road 135. Join us every Lord's Day for Sunday school and Bible class at 8:30 and divine service at 9:30. Come and receive the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation from God's Valiant One, Jesus Christ, who has conquered death and holds the field forever.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook. Facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $100 to Issues, Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship. Or you can make your $100 check payable to Issues, Etc. Write scholarship in the memo line and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.